Everlyn, that mountain of a woman, swept toward us across the courtyard of Serenity, her arms spread wide. I was almost tempted to run. It was like standing in the path of one of the vast trucks that used to run at the oil fields near Cuna. Instead of running us down, she swept us into a vast and bosomy double hug. Her aroma was sweet, a mixture of cinnamon and thyme and baked goods. She kissed Jamie on the cheek. He blushed. Then she kissed me full on the lips. For a moment, we were enveloped by her complicated and billowing garments and shaded by her winged silk hood. Then she drew back, her face shining. "What a service you have done this town, and how we say thank you!" I smiled. "Sigh, Everlyn, you are too kind." "Not kind enough. You'll have Noonies with us, yes? And meadow wine, although only a little. You'll have more to drink tonight, I have no doubt." She gave Jamie a roguish side glance. "But you'll want to be careful when the toasts go around. Too much drink can make a man less a man later on and blur memories he might otherwise want to keep." She paused, then broke into a knowing grin that went oddly with her robes. "Or perhaps not." Jamie blushed harder than ever, but said nothing. "We saw you coming," Everlyn said, "and there's someone else who'd like to give you her thanks." She moved aside, and there stood the tiny sister of Serenity named Fortuna. She was still swathed in bandagement, but she looked less wraith-like today, and the side of the face we could see was shining with happiness and relief. She stepped forward, shyly. "I can sleep again, and in time I may even be able to sleep without nightmares." She twitched up the side of her gray robe and, to my deep discomfort, fell on her knees before us. "Sister Fortuna, Annie Clay that was, says thank you. So do we all, but this comes from my own heart." I took her gently by the shoulders. "Rise, bondswoman, kneel not before such as us." She looked at me with shining eyes and kissed me on the cheek with the side of her mouth that could still kiss. Then she fled back across the courtyard toward what I assumed was their kitchen. Wonderful smells were already arising from that part of the Hasi. Everlyn watched her go with a fond smile, then turned back to me. "There's a boy," I began. She nodded. "Bill Streeter. I know his name and his story. We don't go to town, but sometimes the town comes to us. Friendly birds twitter news in our ears, if you take my meaning." "I take it well," I said. "Bring him tomorrow, after your heads have shrunk back to their normal size," said she. "We're a company of women, but we're happy to take an orphan boy, at least until he grows enough hair on his upper lip to shave. After that, women trouble a boy, and it might not be so well for him to stay here. In the meantime, we can set him about his letters and numbers, if he's trig enough to learn, that is. Would you say he's trig enough, Roland, son of Gabrielle?" It was odd to be called from my mother's side rather than my father's, but strangely pleasant. "I'd say he's very trig." "That's well, then, and we'll find a place for him when it's time for him to go." "A plot and a place," I said. Everlyn laughed. "Aye, just so, like in the story of Tim Stoutheart. And now we'll break bread together, shall we? And with meadow wine we'll toast the prowess of young men."